As most of you know, it's my normal pattern on Sundays for us to just work our way through a passage of Scripture. But on occasion, on special occasions, I like to maybe talk about an issue or a theme or a topic. And occasionally on Mother's Day, I try to speak on behalf of women. Now, notwithstanding that beautiful picture that you saw, it is a tough job to try to do that. Because I'll have to tell you, I was raised in a home full of boys. Of course, Mom was there, but it was me and my dad and two brothers. And even when we had a dog, it was always a boy dog. So growing up, I just didn't know very much about these women that were in the world. And it was pretty safe for me just to avoid them altogether, and that seemed to work okay. And then I fell in love and got married and discovered I had some catching up to do. There's a whole other world going on out there that I don't know anything about. And I have spent the last 21 years trying to figure some of that out. And I'm here to tell you, I'm no further along on that journey than I was 21 years ago. But I have attempted to ask some experts, and I have attempted to ask some people along the way. And a number of years ago, I was even bold enough to do a survey with the congregation that we pastored. And I simply asked the ladies, would you help me? Help me as a husband, help me as a pastor, help me as a man. What is it that women wish men knew about women? And I kept some of the responses all these years because they were so profound. Let me share a few of these with you, and ladies, tell me if they captured it right. This is ladies telling us men what they wish we knew about women. I even got a top 10 list in this. Number 10, bad hair days are serious business. Number 9, yes, all those shoes really are necessary. Except in our house, I have more shoes than that does, so I don't know what that means. Number 8, we don't all sit around eating bonbons. Some of us prefer Oreo cookies. Number 7, yes, we do live in the bathroom. Number 6, raising 3 kids is a pleasure. Raising a husband is a full-time job. Number 5, we believe men are expendable. That one scared me a little bit. Number 4, June Cleaver was a pipe dream. Number 3, and I've got to tell you, this is dated a little bit. This was done in the early 90s, but she wrote, we're not all like Hillary. So whoever Hillary is, I don't know. Number 2, it's easy to keep us happy, just give us what we want. The number 1 thing that women wish men understood about women: we're not stubborn, we're just always right. Is that close? Here's a few others. I think some of this was personal, to be honest with you. It would really be great if you could ask your husband to do something and he responds, yes, I will, but somehow 6 to 8 months later it might get done. Here's a few. I wish that he would share in decisions. I wish he would talk about and share their feelings with me. I wish he'd at least try to understand my feelings. I wish he knew that I really wished he would pray with me. I wish husbands were sensitive about special events like Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and birthdays. It makes wives feel more special and appreciated when husbands remember, and this is underlined, on their own, just a card means so much. Women nag more and more because men listen less and less. Nagging reflects a woman's exasperation. She feels she is unable to get her point across because the man won't really listen to her. Husbands need to know that their wives are not their mother or their slaves or their hired hand. Men need to realize that women work just as hard as they do. Most women's work is never done, no matter how many hours are in a day. We want to be supported, appreciated, and most of all loved for who we are and not for how much we do. I did that about 17 years ago. I've never had the guts to do it again. Not because the responses were bad. They were funny. But inside the fun, there was a little bit of truth. Well, there was a lot of truth. And somehow, as men in this world, and this is a tough place because I'm going to have all the men mad at me before the service is over. But somehow, as men in this world, we desperately need to understand the women that are in our lives. Our moms, our wives, our daughters. We need to understand how to relate in a unique kind of way. And we've attempted to do that with seminars like Love and Respect and in all kinds of ways. But today, I kind of want to risk. I mean, if I'm willing to put on a dress and do a fashion show, I guess I'm willing to do anything. I kind of want to risk speaking to men on behalf of women. Now, ladies, if I get it all wrong, you weren't expecting much anyway, so it's okay. I'm doing the best that I can do with what I've got. But if I get any of it right, let us know. Because as men of God, it is our desire to celebrate who God made you and to enter into the deepest relationship that God has for us as men and women. I think if I kind of look at some of the stuff that the ladies were saying jokingly in my survey, if I look at some of the stuff from Egrich, from Love and Respect, as I look at some of the stuff just from other writers, it seems to me that women are really saying some very significant things to us guys. It seems to me that one of the things that they're saying is that they have a deep desire, whether it's a mother-son relationship, a father-daughter, a husband-wife, whatever it may be, brother-sister, they have a deep interest, they have a deep desire that we would at least try to enter in to this world of being in touch with our emotions and what we're feeling, and to be able to talk about that with them. Now I know that a lot of us are saying, I just don't know how to do that. My wife asked me, how do you feel? And I've got to tell you, I just really don't know. I mean, I know how I feel when I hit myself with a hammer. Ouch, that hurts. But I don't know that I go through life just kind of checking my pulse and saying, now how do I feel about this? How do I feel about that? And I think that's kind of one of the protections that God has put over men, because there are certain ways in which men are called to function in this world. There are many who are in this room who are either presently serving in the armed services or certainly have, or as police officers or in other kinds of fields like that. And when you're in those kinds of moments, you can't just go, gee, let's all talk about how we feel. It's a moment where that feeling has to be covered over and action has to take place. I think the ladies in this room understand that, and yet at the same time, if women were to speak to us honestly from the heart, it's like, but you're more than that. God has created such a beautiful sense of feelings and emotions and thinking that is within you, and there was nothing I think that the women would say to us more than, I would love to talk to you. I mean, that's so much of what I hear as Annette comes and reports back to me. So much of what her heart is hearing from other women. What they're really saying is, could we just sit down and you share and you listen? And I know that's hard. Any guys want to say that's not hard? Well, yeah, it is. Yeah. I know, and I'll just be honest here with you. Women have this incredible ability, and Egrich really caught it right in Love and Respect, to spider web. They kind of start a story over here, and then they don't finish it. They leave it hanging, and then they start another one over here, and I think we're still talking about this, and she's moved on to this, 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 and this. And she eventually will come back around and finish up every one, and I'm lost as last year's Easter egg. I don't know what we're talking about. And in my home, it's not just conversation with my wife. It's conversation with my daughter. And half of the time, I really don't even know what they're talking about. It's a lot of she said this, and I want to know who she is. But somehow, in the midst of that, and ladies, if I'm wrong, I suppose I want you to correct me, but there's a deep sense in which they're saying, you don't have to understand. Just engage. Just listen. Just be a part. Act like you're interested. Ladies, you need to turn your heads here, because I'm going to give your husband a clue that I don't want you to think, hey, this is, you know, him just doing something here. But if you'll ever notice in conversations, when men do this, what does that mean? I agree with you. And if I don't agree with you, then they're not going to shake their head. They're just going to kind of sit there. That head ain't going to move. It's like there's a lock at the back, you know? I'll listen. I'll keep eye contact, but I'm not agreeing. Women, on the other hand, and this is tricky, because they'll do this, and what that means is what Vance just said. I'm listening to you. Now, as guys, we're thinking, yeah, I'm really cooking here. She agrees with everything I say. That ain't what she means. She means I'm hearing you, and we'll talk about this later once you decide to quit talking. But the guys, occasionally, as we're entering into this emotional world that our wives and the ladies and the women in our life are about, there's a sense in which sometimes you just need to let them know you're alive. You need to shake your head a little bit. You need to say, okay, I get it. I hear that you're talking. I want you to know that I'm hearing you, and in my mind, I'm thinking of all the ways to fix all the problems you're bringing up. But as love for you, I'm not going to say any of it. And all the women said, amen. That's all. Ed Young, in his wonderful little book, Fit to Be Tied, he said that he finally, after about 40 years of marriage, figured that out when he was playing with his granddaughter one day. And she sat down and she said, Grandpa, I want to tell you a secret. Now you tell me a secret. He said, not once in raising boys had they ever had secret time. And he began to understand what an incredible part of life this is, that simply by just sharing something intimate in my life, I thought this today, I was thinking this, I had this dream, that there is a connection that happens in the heart of a woman that is so deep and powerful and meaningful. You know, it just may be, and guys, this will be tough. I don't know, maybe you don't want to do this at all. But just maybe you want to sit down sometime, maybe even this afternoon, and just say, how am I doing? Okay, now, yeah, not how's my driving, leave that for another day. How am I doing? Talk to me. Am I somehow entering into your world? I think I am. I'm trying to, and maybe I need some instruction. Maybe I need some training. Maybe I need some retooling. But talk to me. Am I making a connection here? Because I'll tell you, if we're not, it opens up all kinds of doors of destruction that happens in a relationship. I have a little poem here from a woman by the name of Ella Wilcock. And I've got to tell you, there's all kinds of rationalizing going on in this thing, but boy, there's some truth here in it. Listen to this. You know, it's got to be Mother's Day if I'm reading a poem. One fateful day when the earth seemed very dull, it suddenly grew bright and beautiful. I spoke a little and he, a new man, listened much. There was a tension in his eyes, such a note of comradeship in his low tone. I felt no more alone. There was a kindly interest in his air. He spoke away about the way I dressed my hair. He praised the gown I wore. It seemed like a thousand years and more since I had been so noticed. Had my ear been used to compliments year after year, if I had heard you husbands speak as this man spoke, I would not have been so weak. The innocent beginning of all my sinning was just the woman's craving to be brought into the inner shrine of some man's thought. You held me there as sweetheart and as bride, but then as wife you left me far outside. So far you could not hear me call. You might, no, you should, have saved me from my fall. I was not bad, just lonely. That's all. It is something that predators of women understand. All it takes is a listening ear to capture a woman's heart. I think if the women could talk to us today and just be really honest, I know what they would say. They would say, I have a deep sense, a desire in my heart to relate with you. I don't want to treat you like one of my girlfriends. But I do want to know that you're there. I saw a Valentine's card. I don't know if you enjoy looking at all the cards at this time of the year. It's probably a goofy thing in me, but they're creative writers. I saw a Valentine's card back a few months ago, and it said, you know, on the front with all the rainbows and flowers and puppies and kittens and all the stuff that are on there. It said, you know, the old saying, if you love something, let it go. If it comes back, then it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was. And you opened it up inside and it said, and if it sits on the couch and didn't realize that you let it go, then you probably married it. So, guys, I think somehow if the women were to really speak to us today, they would say, engage. There's a part of me that needs you deeply. In conversation and listening and being involved in my world. I think if the women were to speak to us today, guys, I think what they would say is not only engage with me on this kind of emotional level, but I think there's a sense in which they also say, I really have a desire that as a man you be a man. Now I hear what you're saying. There's kind of a double-edged sword there. I want you to be sensitive. I want you to be loving. I want you to listen. I want you to get it. At the same time, I want you to be a man. I mean, do they not get that you can't do this kind of juggling act all the time? Guys, you ever have that sense that it's never quite sure exactly who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do? I know in our neighborhood someone ran over a squirrel, not technically in front of our house. If you really measured it out, it's almost exactly right in between our house and the neighbor's house. And so I wasn't exactly sure the protocol of who got the roadkill. You know, don't know where they are in their family budget, if that would work good. You know, so I left it there. And Annette came to me and she said, honey, don't you think that we should pick up that squirrel? Now, guys, as you interpret through all the deepness of that, when you hear we, who does we mean? You. Because somehow in the midst of this world of be sensitive, listen to me, when it comes down to picking up dead squirrels, that's a man's job. Amen? Ladies, am I hitting it? I'm hitting the ball today. But you're confusing us. We don't really understand sometimes. We don't know exactly what it is that you want, but somehow in the midst of that, I don't know that there is a woman who is, well, I won't go that far. I was going to say a woman in this world, but I'm sure that's too far. I don't think that there are very many women in this world that when it really comes down to it, do they want to be with a man? Do they want to have a man in their life who when the door is crashed in at 2:00 in the morning and a robber is coming in, who says, honey, let's talk about it. Honey, I'm going to crawl underneath the bed now, and I'm going to cower there, and I just hope everything works out okay. I mean, there's a deep sense where at that moment, there's a sense that God created us as men in a certain way, as protectors, as providers, of the ones who stand and say, you will touch my family only over my dead body. And there are moments, it's not just that men think that way. I believe I'm speaking on behalf of women here. They desire, they appreciate, they want the men in their lives to not only have this sense of being sensitive, but when the rubber hits the road, they need to be a man. And you say, how on earth do you keep that balance? I mean, where do they get this stuff? They're reading those crazy books with Fabio on the front. Ain't nobody like that. You know where I think they honestly get this? It's from viewing God. You think of the tender ways in which God embraces us in life. I think it's one of the reasons why so many women are drawn to faith. Because there is this deep sense of knowing, at least here in this world, I am heard. Knowing that there's not someone who's going to stick up their finger and say, just wait a minute until I'm not so busy. Or this ball game's on, I've got to wait for the commercial. Lord help me. That there is this definite sense of a God that enters into our life and desires nothing more than deep relationship with us. And at the same time, Scripture shows a God who will spare no expense to defend and to protect and to be on our side. A God who literally says, you can trust me with the wrongs in your life. You do not have to avenge yourself. You can give it to me and trust me, justice will be done. A God who is willing to hang on a cross to demonstrate His love for us, but a God who will also sit on a great white throne one day and set all things right. Somehow God created us as men in that same kind of way. And I've got to tell you, I haven't figured this out, and I wish somebody would help me. I haven't figured out if it's an issue of how you merge those two. Or if it's an issue of there are times in life where there is a need for the tenderness and sensitivity and the willingness to hear. And there are times in life where there is a need for a strength, and the wise man knows the difference. I'm not sure which it is. But somehow, I think what the women are saying to us in our world is not that we want you to be some kind of silliness that you see on TV sitcoms where men are just stupid and unable to accomplish anything. I really want you to be both of what God created you to be, full-orbed, image-bearers of Him. Ladies, this sermon really could go on forever, couldn't it? I could start taking suggestions here in a few moments. I've just got one more, and unless the ladies start, you know, crowding the stage wanting to finish this off. I really do think that as the women speak to men today, particularly in our day, I think there's a deep sense of a desire that men understand that women want to be in relationship with a man. Again, whether it's father, son, brother, sister, father, daughter, I said father, son, it should have been mother, son. You get it, husband, wife. There's a deep sense of wanting to be in a relationship with a man that is vital and growing, that is alive and active. We do have a tendency in our world to segregate ourselves off, guys, and to be alive and growing and vivacious in our career. But then we pour so much of our heart, so much of our energy into this work that we're doing, into this work that we're creating, that when we come home, all that we've got left is just nothing. And I mean, if sitting in a lazy boy and watching sports ever becomes an Olympic event, some of us are gold medal material. And yet there's a deep sense, I think, where the ladies would say to us, guys, That same kind of passion, that same kind of energy, that same kind of excitement, that same kind of vitality that you bring into your work, that you give away to people for a paycheck that others get to see, I would love to participate in that with you. Because God gave you a great mind. God gave you incredible abilities. And I would love to share that part of your life. Don't give it all away there. Bring some of that into the home. Bring some of that into the marriage. Bring some of that desire to live and to grow into our spiritual life. I know this is hard. It's easier for me to stand up here on Sunday and talk to all of you than it is to talk Jesus in my home. Isn't that sad? Now, I can only imagine if that's the case for me, multiplying that in most men's lives. I know that we're afraid that we'll come off not sounding like we know everything. Can I let you in on a clue? They already know that we don't know everything. They figured that out a long time ago. And if they're pretending as if they don't, they're just kind of stroking your ego. It's okay. Our kids might find out we don't know everything. They already figured it out. You see, there is something that is so special. There's something that is so intimate about a person that's deep desire is to grow in Christ. And I have yet to meet a woman, I'm sure that it's out there somewhere, but I have yet to meet a woman that feels threatened by that. I met a lot of women who feel threatened by golf or by activities or by hobbies or by this stupid thing of people living on the internet. But I've yet to find anybody that was really intimidated by a man who had a deep desire to grow in his relationship in Jesus Christ. That wanted his family and his wife and his kids and those around him to just really be deeply rooted in God. And I think if we were to get the ladies together and say, you know, give me three or four things of things that would really make a difference, really make an impact, something that I'm longing for you to do in our home. It may not be the dishes. It may not be the laundry. I think most women would say to us, guys, I know it's hard, but I would just so respect if you would just step out and you would lead our family as the priest of this home. That we would share the word together, that we would pray together, that we would be connected spiritually together. Now, we had a guy say amen. You got to tell me, ladies, am I on track or am I off? Is there an amen coming from the ladies' corner? Amen. There's a deep sense. There's a deep sense because of what they see in God. That they want to see in us. And I know you're saying, I can't be perfect, I can't be Jesus, but He created us in His image to be image bearers of who He is. Well, as you can tell, I may have been married 21 years, but I haven't figured anything out. Maybe check me again in another 25 or so. I probably won't know anything then. But on this Mother's Day, I really do believe that one of the greatest gifts that you could give to the women that you love, guys, it's not a present or a Hallmark card. I hope you've already gotten that. I truly do believe that the greatest gift that you could give is this sense of saying, I appreciate you. I honor you. I want to enter into your world and engage and listen and grow together. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Won't be the first time, won't be the last. You have to check with the women in your life to see if I'm anywhere close to being on track. And if it really gets bad, let me know and I'll reverse courses on Father's Day and speak on behalf of the men what we wish you knew about the complexity of who we are. Or not. Hey, let's wrap this up. Let's pray together. Father, your word does give us so much wisdom, and there is so much wisdom that comes in this relationship thing. And Father, the way the world is handling it isn't right for us. This history that has been occurring that somehow tends to say that men and women are just the same and there are no differences, that doesn't take not only not your word into account, it doesn't take reality into account. And yet, Father, some of the ways in which we've kind of learned to cope and to deal and to figure it out, it's not what your word calls us to either. Lord, you've called us to be literally suffering servants like Christ on behalf of the women in our life. You've called us to enter in and to allow you, not Dr. Phil or some of these other models, you've called us to allow you to be the model of who we are to be. How to stand strong in the moments where that is called for. How to enter in with compassion and an attentive ear in other places. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just give us the grace. Not to simply do the things that would make the women in our lives happier. I pray that you would give us the grace to live up to who you created us to be in all of our relationships. Lord, I pray your deepest blessing upon the women today. I think most of us men in our moments of real honesty would say, wow, they put up with a lot. They give us a lot of grace. And Lord, we're thankful for that. But we pray that we might learn on the journey how to honor you, how to glorify you, how to make those relationships something that mirrors who you are. Pray all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Would you stand together with me this morning and receive God's blessing upon your heart and life? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.